This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Welcome, Carm Capriotto, the Service Aftermarkets podcast pioneer. Join me each week for aftermarket insights from my guest host and an industry first, a virtual shop tour. Use the industry's premier podcast as your personal networking resource. And as always, know that you'll learn one thing. The video for this show is on the Aftermarket Weekly page on remarkableresults.biz or on my YouTube channel. Lorenzo Pellicciotta is with us from Ontario, Canada. Let's take a look at the shop we're going to go out and see with Lorenzo. Lorenzo Pellicciotta, you're not only a mechanical guy, you're in the collision business.
Yes, I am. Been in it for 27 years.
Always great to have my great friends from Dorman who are always pushing the envelope on innovative and creative products. Dorman Products has become an incredible engine for innovation. They are constantly bringing new replacement parts to the automotive industry, and they routinely release tens of thousands of parts across all different categories. Now, why did they do all of this? To enable technicians the freedom to fix their customers' cars and trucks. To do this, Dorman has dedicated teams focused on different aspects of the vehicle to ensure that they are meeting the needs of the aftermarket. Although a lot of their parts are reverse engineering of original equipment, they also redesign and redefine solutions such as their loaded knuckles or programmable electronic power steering rack. Dorman has invested in these OE Fix innovations to help you save time, your customer money, and prevent vehicles from coming back to your shop. In certain cases, Dorman will manufacture aftermarket replacements so you aren't forced to go back to the OE. Hey, want to know more about Dorman? Visit DormanProducts.com/tour. Well, hey, Lorenzo, thank you so much for being on the show today. It was episode 274 that you were with us, along with Chris Decker and Murray Voth. Details matter. That was an excellent episode. Details matter. So if you love what Lorenzo is going to talk with you about today, search the app you're listening to our podcast on and look for 274 Details Matter. So here's a mechanical guy that found yourself in the collision business 27 years now.
So, okay, 1991, 25 years old, on top of the world. I was loving it, being a mechanic, won some awards, worked at import dealerships, sort of in the GTA, Golden Horseshoe area. Come back from Italy, finding my roots, went there alone. So wanting to, you know, thinking, making good money, doing on top of the world, I want to own a business. So I sort of started, I took a night school course at our local college on running a business, did some planning, but I was looking at other things outside the field, you know, a pizza place, a sub place, a tool. I signed a deal to be a tool distributor, and my manager at the time talked me out of it, right? And so I kept plugging away.
You were entrepreneurial. I mean, you just wanted to be your own business guy.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what? Totally different than what I thought, right? I got, you know, as I talked to the then CEO of Ontario Auto Collision here in Ontario, which later became CarStar, I was going to rent a location. One of his locations had a separate building that had a mechanic shop in it. So I was going to take that over, you know, have Lorenzo's Auto Service and do my own business and then sort of do his collision mechanical, right? His air conditioning, his alignments, his windshields, his suspension work, right? That was the plan. But him being such a good salesman, he turned me around and got me into a collision store. And me not knowing a thing, like, by then I had just turned 29 years old, and I mean, I got the wool pulled over my eye from like insurance company, from customers. Like, I was just a guy that wanted to fix a car. And now I got to deal with employees. I got to deal with suppliers, right? I got to deal with insurance companies. It was brutal. Like, I went from making, you know, this much money to losing twice as much as I made. So that's a 3x spread, right? My first year, I took a beating, man, but you know, had such a great beating that in 2003 I bought another body shop.
It's so refreshing to hear, because so many people have come on the show and they said, listen, I didn't know what I didn't know. I didn't know what was around the corner. I lost a ton of money. But look, you're on your feet and you're out telling people, you know, how to prevent that chaos that happened to you in the beginning.
Exactly. I wish I knew then what I know now. Like, would I not have done it? that's hard to say, but I would have done it differently. Right? Like 100%, it would have been different. And I would have been, I don't know if I would have been further ahead or not, but I probably, you know, wouldn't have been through all the headaches I went through.
Hey, Lorenzo, what business do you love the most, mechanical or collision?
I love mechanical. It's a different business. It's more of a maintenance business, right? Like collision, customers are upset. They don't want to be here. They didn't plan on getting an accident this morning. They didn't wake up and say, I'm going to get in an accident and my car is going to get towed to Lorenzo's store and CarStar, right? Like, so they're a little bit upset. They sort of take it out on us, and we have to listen to them. We have to take care of them, right? We have to understand, right? But then there's all different issues where they don't get what they want from the insurance company, from you know, parts don't arrive on time, and we have to take the brunt of that, right? And we're mechanical. Like, so in 2010, I started an Auto Pro, right? Because that's what I love is, and I love dealing with people. I like the maintenance part of it. I like people come in because they want to, you know, they want their car to last, right? So, you know, our tagline is, you know, it's true. We make your car last a long time. I sort of like that part. And then I got into restoration work as well. It's sort of different, right? It's not rust repair, but it's restoration with older vehicles where people want to keep their vehicles. And now, you know, that they're older. They have, you know, I had a customer with a TR6 say, you know what, I got married in this car. I brought my daughter home from the hospital in this car. So I want to redo this car. I'm keeping this car. I'm retired now and I have some money. So they put the money into it and we do it right. And I get a lot of satisfaction in that.
What just clicked in my head, Lorenzo, was the new evolution of technology and the electric vehicles that are coming. Okay, they're here, but they're coming bigger and better. And however the government's going to put a finger on that, we're not sure someday. But think about the restoration piece. You'll never have that old Camaro. You'll never have that old, you know, Lincoln Town Car. I mean, these are going to be such incredible classics when you look at where we're headed, you know, an ICE engine, big, bad, badass cars. You may be on the cutting edge of this whole restoration thing. It could be your biggest part of your business in 20 years.
Who knows? Yeah, who knows? And maybe I can convert them over to electric in the meantime. I don't know.
I love your story, but I would, you know, in the time remaining here, when we want to talk about your business, you are a process driven guy. And how many guys have said, look, the only way my business is successful is that we've driven processes and it works. Our business is consistent because of that. Tell the world why it's so critical.
I mean, it always has been to me. When I was a mechanic, I always did the service the same way. Walk around the car, check out the lights, check out all the hinges, check out the horn, the wipers, make a note, go back to the advisor. Hey, you know what? Like, this car has loose, whatever, suspension. We should look at that. Let's sell it. The brakes are squeaking. Let's sell it, right? So, and we come to collision parts, the same thing, right? The car comes in for a teardown. As we walk around the shop, I'll explain what we do. But as you disassemble it for repair, you're capturing everything, right? You're noting everything. So you do the estimate, you order the parts one time, right? You do the estimate one time, you order the parts one time, and you're not going back. Oh, now I need this, and now I need that. Now I got to order. So now there's a delay. So what we do is we do the estimate, we disassemble for a repair, we capture everything that is needed, right? All the parts are ordered. Once all the parts arrive, the job is started, and we don't stop till the job is completed. Where if you order some parts, you bring the car in, you start repair. Well, now, you know, your tech comes up and says, I can't weld the quarter panel on because there is this bracket that is damaged, which is under it, which I have to get. So now you got the quarter panel here, but I don't have that bracket, and that bracket is 7 days away. Well, now you're waiting. So the car is tying up a bay. We like to capture everything the first time, get all the parts ordered. As everything comes in, we start the job.
Same principles inside the mechanical shop?
Yes, 100%. So we'll check everything out, do our complimentary inspection. If we sell a brake inspection because we notice it's kind of low or it was pulling and we should do it, we'll take the wheels off, we'll sell everything, we'll put the car back together and move it outside for the customer to pick up and reschedule it. Unless my techs can do it then, we'll do it then. But generally, it's put back together and it's rescheduled because of our workflow.
Lorenzo, how hard is it to bring the team, train the technicians into these processes, and are they always helping you improve them?
We have meetings every morning. In the body shop, we do them 3 times a day, release meetings. In the mechanic shop, we do them 2x a day, basically where we get together. Hey, these are the jobs that are coming in. This is what I need done. And so everybody's on the same principle, whatever, as you said, on the same team, right? So is it hard? Yes, it is hard. We have to keep driving it. But once we drive it and they get it, you know, hey, if the guy is late for the meeting, it continues if he's there or not, right? So now he's got to go to somebody else. Hey, I missed the meeting. What's going on, sort of thing, right? So it's in their best interest to be there. And we sort of try to make it fun as well. And we'll talk about, hey, how was your weekend? You know, everybody sort of give up something positive that happened to them at the beginning of the meeting. We try to keep it short, though, right? We, you know, try not to make it over 10 minutes.
You described 27 years ago, you wanted entrepreneurial, you needed to do this, you studied, you went to business school. What's the biggest lesson you could give anyone in the industry right now?
It's going to be different from what you expected. So always be prepared. What you plan, your vision will change. But as long as you keep pushing, push your goals, change your goals to get to your ultimate vision, and just don't give up. Keep going. Learn from your mistakes, and not necessarily, they might not be your mistakes, but it's just what happens. Learn from them and learn from somebody else's and get a coach and go to 20 group meetings and talk to other shops.
You nailed it. Thank you so much. It's great. I wrote the word evolve down, you know, just because you were who you were 27 years ago, you're probably a completely different leader and or person today. Don't get stuck in a rut.
100%. I get people that say to me, that see me now or talk to me now, that have talked to me years ago, and say, wow, you're different.
And the answer to that person is, thank God.
That's right, 100%.
Hey, thank you so much. We're going to have a chance to see Lorenzo's shop. Rumor has it, this is a great, great video for you all to watch. Hey, what's coming up? We've got some new listens coming up. Great episode. The Many Roles of the Shop Owner was released today from Dr. Dave Wyman. Dave and I get together and we just go off on tangents. It's just excellent. Prepare for the future, Town Hall Academy. And Matt Fonslow's Are You a Positive Deviant? And a really good episode on the update of the EIDL, the U.S. Economic Industry Disaster Loan Program. It was all about COVID. So please get a chance to check all of them out. Appreciate that. And let's jump inside this great virtual tour.
Production area in this building is 10,000 square feet. I moved from a 20,000 square foot building in 2013. Metrolinx took over the building that I was. I was attached to a GM dealership. So they bought it. They were going to move their train platform over and they're demolishing the building. So I had to get out. Oakville is really hard. This is in Southeast Oakville. Right across the street is Mississauga. So I'm as far east as I can be. This building is 39 feet wide and 300 feet long. It was an assembly line for Mack trucks for their differentials. But then they ended up subbing it out, I think, to Dana. So then, and then this building was empty for 5 or 6 years until I took it over in 2012. We totally gutted it, and it took me a year to build where we are now. Right. So everything in here is 10 years old now. So going back. So what we just passed was the customer refreshment area. This is the customer waiting room area. Generally, customers don't wait that long in the body shop. They're not waiting for their cars. Generally, they're dropping off. They're just maybe waiting for the rental. Right. Those all on the wall there. Those are all my plaques for my certifications. Behind the fishbowl, we put that fishbowl there when COVID came so we can keep working, keep our employees, keep our customers safe. This is the handicapped washroom here, customer washroom. So I'm back out and I'm going to go behind the counter. There's room there for 2 CSRs or collision repair estimators. Then there's a room there for another spot. That's our fax machine, printer. That's all the work. So this is going into the shop. So if you see on the left, I don't know if I sorted the left. This is where we have our release meeting. I'm going to stop it right there. So that's our board, our production board for everything that's in the shop. So there's a magnet don't really know if you can see of all the cars and the different areas, if they're in paint or collision, whatnot, right? And that's where we have our meetings. So the car, it first comes in, it is washed. It gets brought up to this area there, that right to your right, that's the detail wash bay. So it'll get washed, then we'll back it out, bring it to where the video is from, basically where that board was, and it'll be marked with the customer. Where's the damage? We mark all the damage in green, so the estimator knows what he's looking for. We'll mark all prior damage in red, so we know, the customer, like right then and there, we say, hey, there's a dent on, your collision is on the left front. We got a dent on your right rear quarter panel. Is that part of it? No. So we'll mark it in red. Will you like an estimate to know how much it's going to be to fix it? Yes. So we mark that in yellow. So now the estimator knows, hey, he needs to give a customer pay estimate for all the yellow stuff. All the red stuff is prior damage. So it's noted, it's there, and we take pictures of it, right? So we know that it was there prior. You know how many times we've had to do stuff for customers and we know it was there and I say, no, it wasn't. And we couldn't prove it. So basically we're taking pictures. Yeah, covering our ass, right? So this now I am going upstairs. So again, this is the lunchroom. We have there's a telephone in there. There's our little saying in here, my board. So there's a phone on the wall for the guys to use while they're on lunch and break. That's the kitchen there, two microwaves, fridge, dishwasher. That's the table that we have. Then I come through here. That goes back downstairs to the front office. Then we come through, we have the change room and washroom for the employees.
How many people work in the building?
12 to 14, I believe, right now. I was up to 35 pre-COVID, then I was down to 14, and now I'm back up to 22. This is with all my locations. So there's a washroom here as well, girls' washroom. Then I'm going to go through. This is a boardroom where I'm sitting right now.
Okay, great. Training. I can see meetings. Nice.
We do meetings. I have a TV. We can plug in there. We can do presentations. We have ICAR training. We have insurance companies. We do employee training. Yeah, we do everything up there. To the right, a nice espresso machine coming up. There you go. Got to have that espresso.
Of course, that came over from Italy with you, right?
Of course. So, and we can see the shop from there. It's upstairs. So yeah, it looks over the shop. So this is my office going through there. Yeah.
So do you run all the businesses out of this office?
No, I go back and forth. Okay. I go back and forth. Then coming down, so this is our frame machine, car aligner, measuring system. And also that's the aluminum room as well. We can close that off. This is our parts room. So these are all the parts waiting for cars either to come in. So each bay has a lift, has a Spinazzi hoist, a lift, so each car can be lifted. There's two spots there for estimators. As you can see, it is long. It was really hard for me to, I never thought on paper it looked like it would work. I lost so much sleep over this place trying to make it work until one of the suppliers for the lifts, they lent me a lift and they let me go in there and try it out. And I figured out the perfect angle of parking it and putting the cars in there, and it just seems to work. And I don't know if you want to stop it here. If you can see on the wall there, I don't see this, all the equipment and there's pictures, right? So this was all, when I was talking about the 5S-ing in the last episode and where all the equipment belongs, and let's put a picture up of what it should look like. So there's pictures on the wall there of what the equipment should look like when it's put away. So there's some equipment that I guess they're using that isn't put away. But generally, yeah, that's all part of the 5S's.
Excellent. It's good to see it. It's good to see it.
So this is our spray booth. And if you look, there's a lift in the spray booth as well in the floor. So it can lift the cars and get, underneath where you don't see, where you need paint. Because, you repair that rocker panel, but you got to get paint behind it. If you don't, it's going to rust, right? So that's just to make it comfortable. These two lifts as well, they're being serviced right now. We're replacing all the light bulbs. They're 10 years old, so it's time to go. We had a bunch burned, so we said just change them all. And there's two lifts in each. Those are two prep stations with lifts as well. Then going down, this is the restoration area. We have a 58 MG. GA and a 79 Mini, and that's we stripped them right down and we're totally rebuilding those as well.
It is so long, but it is so clean and organized and staged. Very impressed.
Just makes it easier for the guys to work. Again, everything I do, do the guys like it? Well, does it make it easier for them? a mezzanine right there. That's where all the cars, once the, if they're disassembled, they go under there and they wait for the parts to arrive before we get on it. And this is just a wood room. This is where we built. There's three shelves to the side there. We have a couple cars that have looking to be restored. And then there's three shelves. So we do three cars at a time. So those are the, once we disassemble them, all the parts of those cars are put on those shelves.
They have a home ownership, if you will, a shelf section. And this is an add-on to the building, that room?
Yeah, it was just an add-on. And this is our mezzanine that we cars are waiting for parts under there.
It looks like you may have 20 or 30 cars in process.
Yeah, there's close to 30 cars. Yeah, so close to 30 cars. And it's getting easier. There was a time where we had like 25 cars easy waiting for parts to come in that we couldn't even start because of COVID. They were shipping all the parts to you guys in the States and they were holding off on us. We just couldn't get parts, right? So there was a problem with parts and we couldn't bring cars in because we couldn't start them, right? So we had a lot of cars laying around. But we seem the part situation is getting better now. So right there, I don't know if I want to say that area to the left was disassembled for repair. This is employee parking that's clearly marked. And further back was, you'll see, it's called DFR parking, disassembled for repair. So we know those cars that were parked there, they're ready to come in to disassemble for repair. And then once that's done, then they're gone outside until the parts arrive. Then once they're brought back in, and then the job just flows. And this is where the car is backed out for the customer. It's backed in here, and this is where it's put once it's finished for the customer to pick up.
So this is like about a 12,000 square foot facility, didn't you say?
If you count the upstairs, yeah. Production's about 10, yeah, and I got about 2,000 upstairs, yeah.
Now, how far away is the mechanical shop?
The mechanic shop is, I'd like to show you on another, if we can do another tour, it's on my west location. So it has a, that's where I talked about it. Our last episode that I was on, I talked about the Car Star and the Auto Pro, right? That shared the common area. You know, you have it branded Auto Pro on one side, branded Car Star on the other side, and you walked in through the middle and then depending on where you went, and we shared the center waiting area. And then the shop was separate as well. But that's at my west location. It's about 11 kilometers. So what's that, 6 miles for you guys? 5 miles, 6 miles, something like that. Almost as far west as I can go in Oakville. And this shop is as far east as I can go in Oakville, right? So I sort of draw from both areas.
And how far is Oakville from Toronto?
It's like a half an hour drive. So yeah, I'm right in the middle of Hamilton and Toronto.
You're an hour and a half from me. Tracy and I should go up there and film the next one, Trace. We should do a field trip and have some espresso with Lorenzo.
That's that right. That'd be great.
Cool. Well, this was great. You talked about being processed and we saw it.
If you do it the same way all the time, it becomes easy. And every time there's a screw up, what didn't we do? What did you not do in the process? And sure enough, if you would have did that, it wouldn't have screwed up. So, yeah.
That's a great lesson right there. You know, okay, we goofed, what happened and why? Why? That's the big thing. Thank you so much to Lorenzo Pellicciotta. Appreciate a good tour, my friend. And we will have you back. Let's see the mechanical shop next.
Awesome. Great.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.